Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All rise.
Welcome to the Cyber Law and Business Report. Get the top story on the hot button internet legal topics of the day. This is your home for the latest on internet law and policy. Hear the latest net trends impacting business and have your questions answered right here. This is the Cyber Law and Business Report. Now, please welcome your host, the founder of the Internet Law Center, Bennett Kelly.
Good morning. This is Bennett Kelly broadcasting live from the Internet Law Center here in Santa Monica, the heart of Silicon Beach. Please be seated. We have a great show for you today. We're going to be talking with Daria Chisholm. She's the founder of 50 Shades of Silence, and we're going to be talking about how she got to this point and what she's trying to achieve with her project. And it's really an incredible story, and starts with: imagine waking up one day to find harassing memes, nude pictures, and videos of yourself online. Imagine that you were not aware they existed and you did not approve of and have no control of removing the images. The person who committed this atrocious act you once lived with and loved lives in a different country and wants to humiliate you and destroy your reputation. And no legislation or law enforcement can prevent this from occurring or ensure those pictures are removed. A very challenging scenario that has, you know, a lot of legal and emotional repercussions. And Daria is going to explain what she's had to go through and what's led her to empower herself and others to fight revenge porn online. And we've had several shows on this, as I represent victims of revenge porn, and I think it's an important issue to get out there. But Daria was actually, we named her one of our heroes of last year in 2017 for her work and bringing awareness to revenge porn. So we're really thrilled to have her. Daria, are you with us?
I am. I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you so much, Bennett, for inviting me on.
And so what's unique about Daria is that she actually, before all this happened to her, had a career as a broadcaster. She was an anchor in Pittsburgh for over 20 years, and is empowering women and others through as a life coach. And so I guess let's talk about Daria before all this happened. Well, tell us about what your career.
Yeah, so I did. I spent 25 years in the Pittsburgh market anchoring the news for the NBC affiliate. I've also always been in business. I've had a number of different businesses. I owned an aerial fitness studio. I was involved in growing a network marketing company. And almost five years ago, I retired from television to focus primarily on life and business coaching. I published a book and started a very popular video podcast and podcast series called Hustle and Heart TV. So a lot of my focus has been really about empowering people to live their best lives, and especially women in business, helping them with visibility and multimedia strategies. I do a great deal of that work today, but it has really afforded me a lifestyle that allows me to travel and speak and connect with people to help them not only grow their lives, but grow their businesses.
And just for our listeners, as usual, background on Daria and today's topic is on our blog at cyberlawradio.wordpress.com. And as usual, you can follow us on Twitter at cyberlawradio. So you have this background in journalism and empowerment. And then you one day wake up and you have that moment of devastation. And what was that like?
Well, let me back it up a little bit, just so there's some context to even out how all of this occurred.
Sure.
Because unlike unfortunately, many people who face revenge porn, more often than not, we know are perpetrators. Some other forms of cyberbullying and cyber harassment is sometimes very generalized and you don't know the person. In my case, I was living with an ex-boyfriend who in Jamaica who had taken photos and videos of me and held them for some time. We broke the relationship off. And then on January 1st of last year, I got a phone call in the early morning hours and he threatened my life. He threatened to kill me. He told me that he would stab me in my heart and shoot me in my head if I didn't return to the relationship. And, you know, hearing those words and having a threat hanging over your head is extremely, it's scary, it's painful, it's humiliating. But within a couple of weeks, I started receiving harassing memes and text messages with photos and videos that he had taken while I was asleep without my consent, many of those naked. And this was all in an attempt to get me to return to a relationship that I clearly was not returning to. That went on for several months. And then finally, he put a website up with those images and started calling friends and business colleagues and telling them to go and view me this way. And what he held over my head was, you know, I know you're not going to say anything. You don't want to destroy your celebrity or your credibility. And he did. I mean, for the longest, I was locked away in this place of shame and silence. I was humiliated and embarrassed. I mean, especially because it comes from someone that you have a relationship with and that at one point you loved and trusted. And so, you know, I know for any listener who has ever experienced this, it can be extremely devastating because you then realize, who do I turn to? What kind of help can I get? And there's so few laws in place to protect victims. And of course, with this heavy weight of victim shaming and victim blaming, it just leaves a person spinning. So that was, you know, up until, you know, facing that and going to court multiple times, I realized that I wasn't alone. There are thousands of people out there who unfortunately are facing some form of cyber harassment or cyber sexual assault or abuse, or, you know, there's a thousand names for this. And I just knew that I needed to use my voice and my story and my platform to do something about it.
And what's unique about your situation, or I guess maybe it's more severe, might be another way to say it, is every revenge porn victim faces incredible challenges from the very start, from dealing with the police, who sometimes say this is a civil matter, and I have to coach my clients to say, no, here's a circular from the California Attorney General that says this is serious and that you should take it seriously. And then once you get into the system, I had a revenge porn case in court where the judge pulled me into his chambers and said, you know, I don't do internet law. I'm just going to transfer your case to someone else. And so there's so much resistance. And then you had a unique issue in that you're in the United States, the perpetrator's in Jamaica. So you have to deal with two different legal systems, jurisdictional issues between the two. And it must have seemed that all that more daunting because of that.
Oh, without a doubt, Bennett. I mean, I spent thousands of dollars and over a year in court seeking a protection from cyber stalking. And that took about 9 months. Ultimately, what I was also looking for the judge to do was to write very clear language prohibiting him from ever dispersing any material or content so that I could turn that also over to Google, who was requesting that in order to remove the content. And right. That didn't happen. It took over a year for that to happen. So, you know, fortunately, I used a takedown service and had the content removed. But this is, you know, there needs to be a clearer path to getting justice. And if like most people are being told to go get a court order and it takes you a year to get that, imagine how your reputation can be damaged. Imagine the amount of money and pain and suffering and time associated with it. And it, you know, if for nothing else, I mean, that is daunting. And as you mentioned, in my case, because we are jurisdiction issues, And this being outside, I mean, we're on the internet. I mean, why should there ever be an issue of jurisdiction when
exactly? I don't remember seeing a border on the internet when I went from one country to another.
Exactly.
That is the challenge. You think it raises the question of whether we do need some nation state jurisdictional systems to deal with problems like this. You know, for example, go ahead.
You can point out your example, but I certainly believe that we do.
And there's a system for resolving disputes about domain names, and it's entirely run by ICANN, the system which administers the domain name system, and it's done purely by written submissions. And there's an arbitration, and you just submit your statement, they submit theirs, and then boom, there's a decision. And if they find the person registered the domain in bad faith and that it infringes your trademark, it automatically transfers to you. And it seems like this would be something that would be a positive way to deal with it. But the problem is, there's different laws on this. And plus, there's this kind of, once you start saying, I remember raising the issue that when California had a revenge porn law pending at a meet and greet with my local assemblyman, and some people just looked at me as if I was being inappropriate just to raise the issue of revenge porn. Mm-hmm. And, that's not for polite company, but, people's uneasiness of this ignores the fact that there's really harm being done to women and men, but mostly women. And so it has to be talked about.
Well, and just the use of the term revenge porn, it's salacious. It is, it does not at all represent what is happening or what has happened. And it is certainly a media derived word or set of words, I should say, that I believe is insulting for what we experience. And unfortunately, though, it's, you've got to go with the term because it's the one that you most understand. Of course, there's the use of non-consensual pornography, cyber sexual assault, cyber sexual harassment, cyber rape. I mean, it's all the same thing, but even the term revenge porn is as if there were some pornography or involvement in pornography alone, and in my case, this was done without my knowledge, but that alone is such a salacious two words, in my opinion.
And I'm glad you mentioned that. There, before she became a senator, Kamala Harris was the Attorney General of California, and she really exerted great leadership on this issue as Attorney General. And one thing she did was to hold a forum and reject the use of the term and in favor of cyber exploitation, because she says, one, let's break it down. Revenge implies that there's some action that merited this retaliatory action. And in most cases, that's not true. These women are just victims. They did nothing wrong other than exercising their free will whether or not to be in a relationship, which is it's exactly your case. And then porn suggests that somehow these women were engaged in some pornographic activity, and that one, in many cases, it's done without their knowledge, as in your case, and others, to the extent that they were sharing images or this was somehow consensual, it's in no way pornographic. This is just something being done between two consenting adults. And both of them have the effect of kind of shaming the victim.
Mm-hmm, they do. And that adds the additional weight to all of this is, there's already the experience of knowing that your private images, your private body parts are circulating on the internet for all the world to see. Secondly, it in most cases is at the hands of someone that you were in a relationship with that you trusted. And so there's the grief and the agony around that. And then to have other people weigh in with this sense of, well, then what did you do or why did you do it? And particularly for those people who choose to share their photos, you know, they're in a relationship with someone that perhaps they believe that they could trust in, and they may be sleeping together. So the thought of sharing naked photos with them, you know, I understand that when people in a consenting relationship choose to do that, which is why I am always advocating that the focus should be narrowly focused on the person who's sharing the content with the intent to do harm.
Right.
Whether it was given to them with their consent or not. We know that when you put that out there and you put something that is intended to be private that could certainly be embarrassing and humiliating out to do harm, the focus should be entirely there.
Right. Now, and this is on our show notes as well, you are working on a documentary with 50 Shades of Silence, and I encourage people to look at the trailer there. Because you have video of yourself during this whole process and the raw emotion of what you're going through, the devastation that is visible on your face, communicates a lot, I think, for those who are unfamiliar with the issue. Tell us about what led you to decide to, you know, take a video and explain the pain you're going through.
Mm-hmm. Two things. One is because I needed to take my power back. These were the images that he said he was going to put out,
right,
and tell an entirely different story about me. And when I chose to make the decision that I get to be the one to release this information, it completely changed how I was experiencing this. It allowed me to take my power back in many ways. But the other side is because I also chose to make a documentary. And in a documentary, you tell the facts, you show what's going on, you make the point. And this happens to be a social justice documentary on an issue that is a growing epidemic. And in order for people to see it in its face, you need to see it in its face. You need to understand it.
And was that hard for you? I mean, because you have this persona. You are, you know, the anchor for Pittsburgh, and all this, and that is not the face you see in those videos.
No, it was extremely hard, and it took a lot, frankly, for me to. I knew that I at some point when I went public with this, that it was important for me to get out and say what was happening. So that I could be ahead of it. But when I made the decision to show the blurred photos and to even record myself, that me crying in bed was the day after court when, you know, that they were like, no, this case is dismissed. Like, what do you mean? I have all of this evidence. This is someone who sent me dozens of text messages and videos, and why can't you see where I am? And so I was so frustrated. And I just decided to record this. And I did this prior to even being clear about the direction of the documentary. I just knew that I needed to document my emotions at the time. When I did get to the point where I made a very clear decision about doing the documentary, this, of course, was a video that I then decided, do we want to use? And the more I thought about it, the more, as I said, I got clear about this is what documentaries do. They make you think. They make you stop. We put a face to what is happening. And because it's my story, it was important to do. But yes, it was a bit challenging, frankly, to do it. But I'm glad that I did. I often thought, wow, how will I now be perceived? But at the same time, what I hear from people is that that's brave, it's courageous. I thank you. Thank you for being the voice. And so for that reason alone, I'm glad.
And a lot of people are glad that you did that, since I think seeing the arc, you know, the before Darius, seeing the devastation that's visible, but then seeing the now empowered Darius, it is really, I think, useful for people who are trying to deal with the situation themselves. But we're going to take a short break. We come back, we're going to talk about how it led you to found 50 Shades of Silence, and about the documentary and some of the promotion you've been doing for it. You're listening to the Cyber Law and Business Report, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Stay tuned for more of the Cyber Law and Business Report after this brief recess for our sponsors.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
The Web Marketing Association is now accepting entries for the 2018 International Web Award Competition. Web Marketing Award winners receive an image plaque, certificate of achievement, higher visibility for your company, valuable feedback from our expert judges, and links to your site from the highly ranked Web Award site. Visit www.webaward.org to nominate your company, site, or organization. Deadline for entries is May 31st, 2018. Go to www.webaward.org and sign up today.
Looking for a better way to get more traffic and interaction to your Facebook page? Imagine Facebook interactivity on your page like you've never seen. Introducing your new Facebook marketing fix, Zo Social, the new and revolutionary way to easily manage and automate your Facebook contests and sweepstakes. Create a fun, easy-to-win contest by writing a simple Facebook post. Watch your post go more viral and generate loads of interaction. Track your traffic and generate email lists with ease. Zo Social is mobile-friendly and complies with Facebook terms of service. Let Zo Social give your Facebook page some flash today. Zoom over to zosocial.com.
Synergize your search engine education from 101 to rockstar level only on webmasterradio.fm. We're everywhere.
The best gavel-to-gavel legal news and information on the net is right here. This is the Cyber Law and Business Report, only on webmasterradio.fm.
And we're back. This is Bennett Kelly. We're talking with Darius Chisholm, and one of the ad plugs were for a web award. And our guest is not at all unfamiliar with awards. Her own podcast won a 2015 Podcast Award for Best Video Podcast. And just last week, she was named as a Pittsburgh Business Times 2018 Women of Influence Award. So congratulations on that, Darius.
Thank you. I'm very pleased to receive that. And that was is for my work with 50 Shades. So I'm really happy about that.
So let's talk about 50 Shades. Let's start with the title. I think I know what the play is, but why don't you tell us how you chose the title?
It was a very deliberate choice on my part. One, because there's so many shades of silence in this entire fight and battle for every victim. And really, that's where it came from. There obviously is the play with 50 Shades of Grey and the content of that movie and so on and so forth. But this was really about understanding that the amount of silence that one experiences through this. And then, in many instances, the silence because we don't have adequate laws in place and police officers aren't quite sure what to say or how to say anything, and family members don't know what to say. And so it really was more about just the amount of silence around an issue that is just so alarming and deserves so much more conversation.
No, I thought that the title was brilliant for the very reason that the salaciousness of the movie title, you know, and the book, you know, in essence, you're playing on that, you know, the whole, you know, delicateness of which people approach this issue. You're kind of playing on that, but then also highlighting that this is about victims. And so I thought that was a brilliant choice of a title. You went on Megyn Kelly's Today Show and did a really moving interview, and I thought it was some parts of it that's how I first heard of you, and there was some parts of it that really fascinated me. One was there's a moment in which Megyn says, this may sound strange, but this may have been in some ways a calling for you. in all this bleak and tragic circumstances, that you are in a unique situation and to help people in ways that others can't. And I point out, because just the very fact that you were on today's show, you know, you worked for an NBC affiliate in Pittsburgh, and so here you are on their, you know, flagship, you know, show in the morning, and you were able to get journalists to pay attention to an issue that maybe they hadn't before, and to treat it, you were obviously, the interview clearly, she's treating you as a colleague. And you know, the level of respect is just, it allows you an entree, I think, with the media, and to let people, to treat people who are victims of this in a way that maybe they hadn't done before.
Yeah, and I will graciously receive that. Thank you. It for many instances, obviously, was very painful in the very beginning and shameful to experience. And yet, what became very clear to me was that it is for such a time as this for me, and that I had the choice to decide who do I need to become in reaction to this, but also in how I purpose this for myself and for others. And so much of this has been out of deliberate choice. And, you know, it took me on a hard left turn, because frankly, I was not going in this direction.
Yeah, no, I don't think it was part of many business plans.
Right, not at all. But it, you know, it allowed me to amass a team quickly, because that's what I do in coaching, is I help people to put teams together. I was able to put a website up very quickly with resources, because I've spent many years working with clients, with helping them put their websites together. You know, my database is now growing with a number of ways that we can help victims. Clearly, as a speaker, I can advocate for this on world stages, which I choose to do. But then I also get to bring my journalistic background into play and all my years of experience in television. While I've never shot a documentary before, I still get to use those skills that, you know, I used for 25 years in television. So all of me is wrapped up in this. And the biggest part of me that I know will go on for many years to come is how I empower victims. Because my focus, while it's on education through the documentary, it's on advocacy, working with legislators and with lawmakers to really toughen the laws and to see this for what it is. It's on collaboration, speaking with people like you and the many other people out there who have been in the field working to protect victims and give victims rights. The biggest piece for me is empowerment. And that's what I call everyday courage. It's the piece that allows me to pour into other people's lives in a way to help them regain their confidence, release their shame, and to have the courage to fight this and move on in life. And that's the coaching piece in me. And so it literally, everything about me is wrapped up into all of this.
In essence, yeah, your life brought you to this moment, as bad as it was, but no person before you was as prepared to handle it as you.
Yeah, and I would agree. And, you know, it was interesting. You talk about the Megyn Kelly interview, which I am so grateful for. And, you know, shortly after that was Dr. Oz. And, you know, Dr. Oz said, and which I was very humbled by, but she's a leading advocate for victims in this space. And to be called that by someone like Dr. Oz is tremendous. And, you know, I didn't sign up for this, but I certainly have taken it with a lot of fortitude and with a lot of understanding and sympathy for victims, because I know it so intimately.
So let's talk a little bit about what 50 Shades is doing. And you mentioned the website, and I got to tell you, it's an excellent website, but it has valuable information for victims. So why don't you tell us about some of the content and, you know, why you put it up there?
Yeah, because I knew, for me, the biggest thing was, what do I do?
Right.
And I didn't know where to go. I went to, once I knew that I needed to fight this, the question was, how do I get the content taken down? What steps can I take? You know, who out there understands what I'm going through? And, you know, I wrote the pages of the website in one night, knew exactly what I wanted it to contain, get information, get involved, support us. You know, I knew that it needed to be a resource, and it's growing. There's still a lot more that needs to be added. And by the way, we just launched an app. And so the app is available in the Google Play Store, as well as will soon be on Apple. So it's available for for Androids and iPhones, so that it can really be available at a fingertip notice, so you know, for people to get to the website and all the resources. So that was the first phase. Then I knew I wanted to develop a team, and I'm so grateful for the number of people who have raised their hand and said, yes, how can I help? From the production team, which, you know, obviously is squarely focused on the documentary, to those right. people, you know, have helped with the crowdfund and the fundraiser, and even those people who have said, I want to be an angel ambassador. I want to be someone when the film is out that I can host a community screening or tell people about it, or I'm happy to share this content. You know, I've got a neighbor who's experienced this. I have experienced this. How can I be of service? And, you know, that list is growing. We've put together two Facebook groups. One is for victims and survivors. The other one is for the angel ambassadors, so that when we want to connect people with resources very quickly. You know, the intent is for the angel ambassadors to be able to say, yes, I've got this platform, I can help you out. So, so much of this was very much in my mind about how can I help while the documentary is being filmed. I mean, the film won't be out until next year. So what can I do between then and now? And that's to build the website, to make it available, to help victims. You know, I just wrapped up about 5 speeches in the last couple of days, just advocating for victims and empowering them, as well as informing people about cyber safety. So I'm quite busy around all of the pieces of 50 Shades of Silence.
Now, part of the large part of what you're doing is the documentary. And what has that process been like for talking to, well, first of all, who are you talking to in the documentary?
So I have interviewed several victims, and not just victims of revenge porn or non-consensual pornography. We've got a young woman who was lured at the age of 14 online and then kidnapped and trafficked, and you know, her life was forever impacted by this. And unfortunately, she's gone on to do some marvelous things. But we know that that is also the dark side of the internet, is that people engaging in conversations with others who have the intent to lure them, and then possibly, you know, human trafficking. That's a big piece. So I've also interviewed two experts in that space. We have several attorneys that I've interviewed. I've got a couple of psychologists. So we really want to pull a whole scale view of what's going on online with any form of cyber abuse, cyber harassment. And so most of the film is done. We're about 70% complete. There's a few more interviews that we need to do. And we're writing now, and then we'll get into editing. And then my goal is to run it through the film festivals. You know, I envision an Academy Award. I've got big dreams for this. So, you know, to hold an Oscar in my hands for this would be amazing. But then also then to make it available for community screenings, as well as for people to watch online.
Well, if you come to LA, and I have some places that you can screen it, and you will get a chance to at least hold an Oscar at one of them. There's a friend of mine, she has one. So you can at least hold it, and hopefully you'll get your own. But we did a show on this 5 years ago or so, and actually in 2013, exactly 5 years ago. And the people we had on, Holly Toops and Becca Wells, were people who thought that their life was over. And somehow they decided, they got that courage to step up and fight back. And in describing the show, and I'm looking at the show notes from that day, and I wrote, to future employees who might be squeamish about what may or may not be online about these ladies, remember that the strongest steel is forged in the hottest fire. These women are just discovering their potential. General Patton once said, the measurement of success is not how high one climbs, but how high one bounces after hitting bottom. Mm-hmm. By this measurement, you know, Ms. Toops and Wells are practically Rockefellers, and it was a privilege to have them on. And I think, are you seeing that in the people you're talking to? Are you seeing that somehow once they get past the devastation that these women are now empowered?
Absolutely. I would say, and by the way, that was an incredible, thank you for sharing that. I actually have chills listening to you remark on how powerful and strong those two women are. And thank you for holding them up in that light, because more often than not, in those early dark days, you feel so extremely vulnerable and stripped and emotionally ripped apart that you don't even know what the next day is supposed to look like, let alone the next year. And
right.
To see someone rise from this and to reclaim their dignity and to feel empowered by new choices is a remarkable sight. And for many of the victims that I talk to, that answer is yes, they have. They hit the bottom and were able to bounce up. And, you know, we in many cases have talked about how our lives have been completely changed, but making that choice to pick ourselves back up and move forward has been the most incredible experience. And I would say that, you know, anyone who has faced a major trauma or a major setback in life, you don't know what the next day is going to look like. And sometimes you don't even know what the day is going to look like.
Right.
So, you know, for every person who finds their courage, or what I call everyday courage, to take it one day at a time and recover from whatever traumatizing or challenging experience or setback that they're facing is what true strength is. It's what true confidence is. It's what true courage is. It is always in who you become after experiencing it. So the answer to that question is yes. They are remarkable, and I can't wait to introduce people to them in the film.
And so, getting back to the nuts and bolts about the film, you have a fundraising campaign. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, we are in our early stages of fundraising on Indiegogo. It wraps up on March 30th, and we are looking to secure additional funds so we can continue filming and get into editing. I pulled out my credit cards and have, been funding this for the last several months, but we're certainly at a stage now where the plastic is is run dry, and now it's time to clearly amass the funds needed to continue filming and then get into editing. And, you know, films are, they're expensive to make. And
yeah.
We're looking at doing a feature-length documentary. There's a great deal of travel that's associated with this because, you know, I've had to crisscross the country to interview people as a part of this. And, you know, then when you get into distribution and the other costs associated with editing, you know, it can be a very expensive project, but I'm committed to seeing it through. And while, you know, whatever $5, $15, $25 can be amassed through an Indiegogo crowdfund, I'm grateful for every single dollar. I also trust that there are major sponsors out there. There are corporations that see the value in this and, you know, will say, sure, we want to support this. And obviously their funding could be much more significant.
And we have a link to the Indiegogo page on the show notes. So if you're interested, please go there and give your support. You know, we did a show a few years back on using Kickstarter and Indiegogo to finance movies. I mean, Spike Lee, I forget which movie it was, but a recent film of his, he did finance through crowdfunding.
He did, and he did very well.
He did, yeah. I remember one of the benefits, that's how people kind of get you to sign up and pledge higher amounts, was you got to sit next to him at a Knicks game. You know, because he has those courtside seats,
yeah.
And but you can't yell at Reggie Miller, I guess. But
we've got some pretty cool perks as part of ours as well. I designed them so that, you know, people could. You certainly can contribute whatever you like, but then we put in different perks that, you know, it's cool swag, it's t-shirts, things like that. But even some of the perks that have a higher donation amount include coaching and being at the red carpet premiere and some other really fun things. So I hope that people will check it out. There's a link, as you said, you've put the link on your page, so it's available for people to see and support if they can.
And when do you think you're going to be finished filming?
Well, I'd love to be done in the next couple of months. Then we really need to spend a lot of time completing the writing and then editing. And so you know, and then of course hitting some of the more significant film festivals and those deadlines are important. Technically, I don't even see the film being released until next year this time. But that would be a good typical run for a documentary of this size and nature in terms of time.
Well, definitely when you're done, let us know, because then we want to promote it. But one thing we do have to promote right now is our sponsors. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll have more with Darius Chisholm. You're listening to Cyber Law and Business Report, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Stay tuned for more of the Cyber Law and Business Report after this brief recess for our sponsors.
Webmasterradio.fm.
St. Jude continues to advance by increasing cure rates in childhood cancer. And donors are important to us because you get the feeling that you have a team behind you. When it comes to research and advancements, there are some things that only we can do because we have the resources and we have the focus. And so if St. Jude doesn't do it, who will?
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
All of your favorite WebmasterRadio.fm programs on air and on demand 24/7. Find our shows on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, and anywhere you download your podcasts. Add some podcasts to your playlist as part of a better profit margin. More refreshing talk radio on air and on demand 24/7. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm. We're everywhere.
The best gavel-to-gavel legal news and information on the net is right here. This is the Cyber Law and Business Report, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
And we're back. This is Bennett Kelly. We're talking with Darius Chisholm about 50 Shades of Silence and the issue of cyber exploitation. And as I mentioned, the Internet Law Center represents victims of cyber harassment and revenge porn, and you can find information about our work at internetlawcenter.net. And just want to give a couple of shout outs. One is we have the upcoming rally this weekend on the Mall 4 to address the tragedy of guns in our society, and I just want to give a shout out to the courage of those who've been involved in the March for Our Lives, and the courage those young children have shown in standing up and demanding change is really it's been quite a thing to see, and I have nothing but respect for these people. The other thing is we're now at the 6-month anniversary of the hurricane that devastated Puerto Rico, and they're still struggling. So please keep them in mind, and they need help, financial and otherwise. So, but Darius, getting back to the issue of 50 Shades of Silence, what do you say to people who, if someone who just discovered and recently found out there's pictures out there of them, what do you say to those people who did in those first, week or so when they've just discovered and they don't know what to do?
Well, there's a few things. One is you need to get help. And sometimes it may just look like a good friend who can help you find the help that you need. Because more often than not, you're confused, you're angry, you're humiliated, you're ashamed, you're not sure where to. So if there's someone that you can align yourself with, a good friend, a cousin, a sister, whoever, that can help you do some of the early work and help you and listen to you and hold you if need be during that time is really important. The second thing I would say is to whatever degree you can get it removed or taken down, you want to do that quickly. Yes. So whether it's a website and you want to use a takedown service to engage with in terms of trying to get it taken down, you should. If it's on social media, there are guides that many of the social media platforms offer as a step-by-step way to get a content removed, but you want to act quickly to try and get it removed as best as possible. You want to save everything. Everything, yes. All evidence, save it. Don't distribute it, though. Don't send it to anyone, but make sure you save it and put it in a folder, put it someplace where you can get your hands on. And then if you can find an attorney who understands this, to connect with that attorney. And I will say this, even if that attorney is not in your state, more often than not, obviously, you're going to have the attorney represent you in the particular area that you're in. But depending on where you are, there may not be someone who knows this law. So I would say at least start with someone who does, who can help you find an attorney in your state to assist you. And then to what, you know, if this is something that you need to take to the police, I would say do that, but make sure that you know what your rights are in your particular state. Some, you know, as we know, there's only 38 states that have anything on the books, which in my opinion, it's all fluff. But, you know, at least know what statutes that you can stand behind, and when in conversation with the police, make sure that you share that with them, because sometimes the officers that take the information are unaware and they don't know. I would also ask if it's at all possible if your information can be redacted or your name not be used, because of course in delivering the content to the police, it's made available, it's on public record, and if it's something that you don't want out there, you need to see if there's some way that you can request that just be treated with a great deal of sensitivity, and that it not be made available if at all possible. And of course, that has a lot to do with whatever police department you're dealing with.
Right.
The early things.
And then a number of jurisdictions, California being one, allows victims to sue under Jane Doe.
Mm.
And,
right.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's true. I mean, in some places you can't do that. And in some places you can't even ask that your information be kept confidential. You know, I really believe that these cases, especially when taken to police, should be treated like rape cases, because we've gotten to a point now where at least authorities, when they're taking those first statements from someone who claims to have been raped, they treat it with some degree of sensitivity. And more often than not, they do keep that information confidential. I believe this should be as well. When you are exposing naked photos or videos or content that is compromising, it should be handled with some degree of sensitivity.
That I agree. That's very important. Right now, you mentioned there's 38 states, and I'm embarrassed to say that the state of Rhode Island isn't one of them. And the governor actually vetoed a revenge porn law a couple of years back. But there's legislation pending in Congress, bipartisan legislation in both the House and the Senate, to create a national, federal revenge porn law. And there's also legislation to make this violating the military code of justice. So, because there's also, you may recall a year ago, there was a big scandal in the Marine Corps and the Army of revenge porn and photos being circulated throughout there. And so be aware and talk to your representative and say, this is very important.
Yeah, I am very excited to see the work that Senator Kamala Harris is doing with the Enough Act, and that it would be essentially the first federal bill that we would have that would strengthen this. And my hopes is that, you know, it will continue to receive support in both the House and the Senate and pass unanimously and quickly. Because, you know, as I know from all of the time spent in court, the punishment just does not fit the crime in many instances. And we need to take this seriously. There are people who commit suicide over this. They
right.
lose jobs. The devastation from this could be so tumultuous, and it can impact so many other people. And so to the degree that lawmakers can see the urgency around this is important.
And you're right to tell people to reach out and to find someone who's knowledgeable. And because I know for our case, we get calls not only just from throughout the United States, from across the world. I've represented a victim from Beijing, and who had an issue here in the United States of someone posting photos of her. And so, it's a global issue, and find someone knowledgeable and act quickly. And definitely you want to go to a website like yours. So we only have a few minutes left. What's next for you? What do you want people to know?
Yeah, well, a few things. Yes, the website, 50shadesofsilence.com, and that's 50shadesofsilence.com. It's growing. We've got, you know, we'll be adding more and more content, more and more resources for victims and survivors. We are looking for angel ambassadors, people who say, yes, I want to help in whatever way that I can. And there's a link there where it's under Get Involved to sign up and leave us your information there. I have also posted where it says Get Empowered. I have a number of different free tools that people can use, particularly victims and survivors. And so on that link, there is a free audio and workbook to really help to establish some more healthy habits to move through this because of the level of shame and pain associated with it. So I've made that available. I've got several speaking events that are in place, and so I'll continue to advocate for it. And for anyone who you know wants to support the campaign and donate, we would greatly appreciate that. And or if you've got a company or an organization that you believe could be closely aligned with our work and mission, reach out to us for that, because collaboration is ultimately the way to get the word out.
Well, I can tell you my firm and you know this show will be happy to work with you to promote this effort, and because it's an issue that needs greater awareness. And so I applaud you for what you've done in this area. And, you know, that's why we named you a hero last year, because you brought the awareness and the debate to a level that was not before.
Thank you. I do appreciate it. And thank you for your support.
Anytime. So we have on the show notes, we have links to your website. We have links to your Twitter accounts and to your Indiegogo. We only have 2 minutes left. Any parting words you want to share with our guests, our listeners?
Absolutely. You know, we all have a choice to make in life, and we get to decide in any particular moment how we want to respond. And more often than not, when we are reacting in pain and in shame, it's very hard to make good decisions. And so I would encourage any victim listening who is in that dark place to find ways to release the shame and to find a deeper sense of yourself. And even if you have to ask yourself the question, who do I need to become now? It prompts you to start thinking about positive solutions. For every person who's ever been through this and has found their way out, they did it day by day. They chose to have everyday courage. And it is always my commitment to see people rise from their most devastating moments. And if you're listening and that's something that you need some support in, please go to our website, reach out to me,
and have support. And you know, I've seen you've interviewed a number of times, and I've looked at your trailer. And what's interesting is you see the Pittsburgh anchor, Darius, and then you see the heartbreaking videos of you during this whole crisis. And then you hear yourself and see yourself now. And it's just an amazing journey. And I think, you know, the fact that you've shared it with people and are leading people forward just creates such a great example and creates hope and for people who may not have had it.
Thank you.
So it's been an honor and pleasure to have you on. We're running out of time, but I want to thank you again. Everyone, please check out the trailer and go to 50 Shades of Silence, because we can't be silent on something like this any longer. So I want to thank you again, Darius. It's been a pleasure. Join us next week on Cyber Law and Business Report, and check us out at internetlawcenter.net. This is Bennett Kelly. Have a great week. See you then.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.